ASO Radio Theater proudly presents Melodramatic Theater, Episode 1, The Clash of Emotions.
But why, brother? Why must you go to the mountainous region?
I can't, it's so sad.
Brother will be filled with sorrow if you suddenly disappear for this journey.
But just think of father. He'll be jumping out of his boots. He'll be so happy.
Father will be so proud. Oh, if only the dear Lord hadn't taken him from us.
But the truth is, I hate you.
I have to get away from you. I will not let my younger brother outdo us and sadden my family while making my father proud. I will not stand for this.
But you have to. I'm the destined one. I'm the prophesied.
Brother, there's something I've been meaning to tell you.
What's that?
I've tried to go and meet a nice girl, but I finally realized.
Next time on Angst Theater, what will be the major revelations that the brothers will come to? Will the feelings be requited? Is it related to the gravitation review this episode? Tune in next time for another installment of Angst Theater.
Those clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio.
Okay, and welcome to episode number 84 of ASO Radio.
84?
84.
We're moving up in the race.
ASO Radio. This is MZ17.
And DB3.
Bringing you another wonderful episode of ASO Radio. With homosexual overtones. But we'll get to that in our review section.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was scary when you put your hand on my shoulder during the funny.
Well, it was funny, though. But just wait until part two, people. Just you wait. So, we got a lot of news to do. Yes?
Yeah, we do have a lot of news.
A lot of news.
I hope.
Most of it's rather boring, but there are some interesting bits in there, I guess.
When isn't most of the news boring?
You know, I remember back in the day when we had Pokemon murderers. The news was interesting then. We don't have anything like that in these recent years. I tell you, it's just kind of depressing. Depressing
so
enough
sad.
That it makes me contemplate the virtues of suicide. But more about that when we get to our reviews, too. Anyways, it's time for some news.
And now it's time for the Any O'Clock Anime News.
BB3, I'm feeling too depressed to read our first news item. How about you do it?
You want me to? But this is such a boring news. I don't even know if I can read through it.
I'd like you to read it if you would.
All right.
As an energetic schoolgirl who just got a new outfit.
According to ICV2 and publisher...
Oh, that's Media. Not energetic. Come on.
All right. What, can I just get the schoolgirl part?
You gotta wear the clothes, but sure.
Alright.
Wait, no, never mind. I don't want DV3 wearing anything like a Sailor Fuku.
Well, they're so nice.
You gotta wear stockings in that case, but let's just cover this new manhwa publisher, shall we?
Well, alright. According to ICB2 and Publishers Weekly, Netcomics will release 3 manhwa in January. 06... Boy Princess, and Let's Die. 6 more will be released by the end of March, with 3 more by the end of June. In 2007, they expect to release 10 titles per month.
Unfortunately, it seems that most of this publisher's comics tend to be of the gravitational sort, the yaoi sort, so I don't think we'll be doing too much more discussion about these in the future. But to wrap up this little news story, NetComics is a subsidiary of Ecomix, the largest Korean manhwa publishers, with a catalog of thousands of titles, 40,000 volumes worth of material, from over 150 creators, many of them Korea's top creators. Ecomix publishes the Korean manhwa magazine Young Jump, not the same as Shueisha's Young Jump, which is a Japanese publication. Copying a piece of Ecomix's business model, NetComics will offer many of their titles online for a lower price per chapter. According to the NetComics website, most of their titles will be available for licensing in languages other than English. The site does not specify which titles they intend to release in North America or in what order. One of the listed titles, Full House, has already been translated and released by Central Park Media. Let's Die and Boy Princess are both labeled boy love comics for girls ages 13+. 30-page samples of the two manhwa and many other NetComics properties are available from the company's website. NetComics will be distributed by Ingram. 06 is not mentioned on the NetComics website, however, ICB2 refers to it as the story of a wimpy high school boy who finds his hidden love and hidden self when a beautiful and invincible female automaton number 6 is delivered to his home. So maybe one with a female automaton might not quite be the pure love I'm hoping for, but at least it's a little bit removed from boy love.
Hey, get this. Oricon has posted an article about the top 10 selling anime theme songs of 2005.
Wow, where'd you hear about that, DV3?
Where'd I hear about it? It was on
Anime News Network.
AnimeNewsNetwork.com, the number one provider of anime news to Acer Radio.
That would be the place.
Oh, okay, cool.
And this year's top 10 anime theme songs were...
Wait. 37 anime theme songs broke into Oracle's top 10 charts this year, compared to 27 in 2004 and only 8 back in 2000.
That's 24, not 27.
Screw it. This year's top 10 anime theme songs were...
Should we start with number 10 and work up?
Okay.
Number 10, Wings of Words from Gundam Seed Destiny by Chemistry.
And I'll read the copy sold. 140,969 copies.
Number 9, Kiroge Wagyu.
Maybe you should read the copy sold.
Yeah.
Okay. Kuroge Wagyu. Joshio Tanyaka Rapiyaku Haichijuen from Blackjack by I. Asuka.
149,134 copies were sold.
Number 8, Kimiwa Boku ni Niteriyo from Gundam Seed Destiny by Seesaw.
156,172,000 were sold.
Well, okay. kind of said that wrong, but that doesn't matter.
Did I?
Yeah, you said 172,000 were sold.
Oh.
Anyways, Metamorphose, apparently, from Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam, a new translation, Heirs to the Stars, by GAC.
156,709.
Well, that GAC sure thinks they're a cock of the walk, don't they?
Now they probably do.
No, because of the being in that RPG that Square put out, like they're prominently featured and whatnot. Is somebody bothering you on the old cellular again, DV3?
Maybe. Just maybe.
Buzzing you on the mobile, eh? Number 6, The Steeds from Gundam Seed Destiny by TM Revolution.
176,028 copies.
Yeah, we'll just stick with reading the 1,000 place, I think.
All right.
Pride from Gundam Seed Destiny by High and Mighty Color.
223,208.
Well, I was hoping you were going to go 223,000 copies, but I'll work with that. You know, it seems that the easier it is to say, and the shorter the title is, the more copies they sold. Link is number 4 from Full Metal Alchemist, The Conqueror of Shambhala by Liark NCL.
235,000 copies were sold.
Number 3 is Suki Yanin, Osaka O Enka Mugendai from Nintama Rantaro by Can Johnny 8.
238,000 copies.
Number 2, Gen Koka from Blackjack by Jan the Ark.
That's almost 322,000 copies.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. And the number 1 selling anime theme song single was more than double of what any of the others had, barely less than double of number 2, but still, I'm going to say double of any of the others, Asterisk, from Bleach TV by Orange Range.
And their numbers of sold...
Read the whole number.
628,329 copies.
Crazy. Oh, look, we get to read some more boring numbers. Or should we just make this simple and sweet?
Let's just make it simple and sweet.
All right, the Japanese box office numbers for the most recent Japanese box office numbers that are listed on Anime News Network. Number one this week, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Number two, Yamato Japan... Oh, sorry, that's not part of the title. Yamato. Number three, King Kong. Number four, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Why, I don't know. Number four, Stormy Night. Number five... Wait, what? Okay, number five apparently was Stormy Night. Number six was Super Fleet Sanzer X the Movie. Number seven, Memoirs of a Geisha. Number eight, Procure Max Heart 2. Number nine, Zathura. And number ten, Blackjack, the Two Doctors of Darkness. Damn evil doctors.
Why are they always so evil?
Evil?
Well, Manga Entertainment...
British Columbia? I think not.
Sorry. In Britain, we released the English dub Ghost in the Shell 2, Innocence, on DVD in February 27th-ish. Yeah, you can find it out on the website.
Also, Madman Entertainment will be releasing the English dub of Ghost in the Shell 2 in Australia. So good news for our friends down under.
If they like Ghost in the Shell.
If they like Ghost in the Shell and don't mind being plundered for all their shinies and
yeah,
expensive. Okay, so Del Rey has released a 30-page preview of the manga Pastel on their website. The manga will be released, or actually was released today, December 27th, and the preview can be seen at www.delreymanga.com/pastel.
And according to a recently aired commercials, One Piece will be returning to 4Kids TV after the holidays.
You know, there's a lot of reasons to hate 4Kids, and I'm going to list the top two reasons right now, DB3, right. But I may go beyond two.
Alright.
Top two reasons. Number one, horrible dubs. And number two, they never include the Japanese language as an option on their DVD releases.
That's true.
Also, they tend to go and rip out the good music, put in their own. And they tend to go and, like, quiet spaces for, like, mood or feeling or whatever, fill up with corny jokes and crap. It's just horrible. Not to mention all the digital editing they do. Jeez. But enough about crappy people. Let's talk about people doing well. DV3.
Oh, you want me to do this one?
Uh-huh. All right.
Since the initial public offering on December 21st, Production IG's stock price increased from an initial value of 510,000 yen, about $4,372, per share to 1,500,000 yen by the closing of the market the same day, on December 22nd. The value increased to 1,800,000 yen for a total increase of 253%. Only 2,500 shares were offered to the public. Financial details are available online.
Yes, well, that's quite the jump from being worth about $4,000 per share to about $20,000 per share. Okay, so, since, well, of course, we've got to have an ass full of numbers and statistics, this being the end of the year, Lycos, Google, and Yahoo have released their top search results for 2005. Now, while anime-related terms did not manage to make any of the top lists on the 2005 year-end Google Zeitgeist, which, of course, they're pulling that from German, or Yahoo's 2005 top searches, they did manage, once again, to appear on Lycos's Web's Most Wanted 2005. The Lycos list for the top 100 overall searches, these are we're going to skip past, keep skipping. Okay, so at number 5, Dragon Ball, which, which ranked... last year, 13th in rank, this year was up to number 5. Last year, Pokemon was at 33, this year, number 8. Inuyasha jumped from 55 to 34, Final Fantasy from 25 down to 38. Sailor Moon up from 56 to 41, Naruto was not on the list, but managed to be 42 this year, and Yu-Gi-Oh! Down from 45 to number 68. And goes on to say, animation and anime in particular also dominate Lycos' list of the most searched for non-primetime TV shows. Their top 10 list was for non-primetime TV shows. Dragon Ball, Pokemon, Inuyasha, Sailor Moon, Naruto, Yu-Gi-Oh, Gundam, SpongeBob, SquarePants, Digimon, and Rurouni Kenshin. Which, that's got to be basically the same list we've read every year except for the SpongeBob entry. Google, however, oh god, this story's going on forever, has a list of the top 15 searches of 2005 in Japan. No anime managed to make the top 15, but the list was dominated by idol singers and actresses. But I don't care about them, so we're going to talk more about the slam dunk scandal.
Ooh.
PB3.
Earlier this year, it was extensively reported that Yuki Setsugu plagiarized art from the slam dunk and reel for the In Flower of Eden. Do you remember what show we did that on?
I don't know, a while ago.
As a result, Kodansha ceased distribution and publication of Flower of Eden. Now several websites and a January issue of Saizo magazine have begun reporting that it appears that Takehiko Inoue has copied NBA photographs for use in
Takehiko Inoue.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Has copied NBA photographs for use in Slam Dunk.
An extensive 2CH discussion, which some people may remember for OS10, regarding the topic is going online. While a side-by-side comparison of Inoue's art with actual NBA photographs can also be found. A Manichi YY translation of the Kaizo article can be read online also, which they wouldn't include so damn many links in these news stories. In an interview several years ago, Inoue was asked where his pictures originated from, and he responded that they were created in... Wait, and the person wrote this is horrible. From his own basketball experiences and from memory of NBA pictures he had seen in magazines and on television. Neither Inoue nor publisher Shueisha have commented on the allegations at this time. So, yeah, kind of crazy, but I think when you start going, oh, look, he looked at pictures to derive his drawings from, that's going a little too far.
Yeah. All right, we have some more numbers.
I shouldn't have paid so little attention when I compiled the news.
The 9th Japanese Media Arts Festival winners have been announced.
Yay.
In all, 1,797 works were submitted from inside Japan and around the world. Four works were given grand prizes in four categories. Oh my goodness. Four works were given grand prizes in four categories, with 16 more, four per category, given excellence prizes, and four more, one per category, given an encouragement prize.
Isn't that usually called the consolation prize?
Or honorable mention?
Yeah.
Additionally, close to 140 more titles were
recognized. I mean, I'm not encouraged when I'm last. You're last. Good job. Keep trying harder.
Here's a question. Would you rather get an encouragement prize or an excellent work award?
Yeah, that's true. But then again, at least they got something up. I mean, there's only, what, like six per category, 24. So there was about 1,750 people that got Jack. So
yeah.
I guess it's better than nothing.
Additionally, Osamu Miyawaki was given a special achievement prize for having made a great contribution to the media arts. Miyawaki is the director of the Kyoto Figure Museum. The winners in each category were
Art Division, Grand Prize.
Kronos Projector by Olivero Casanelli.
Excellence Prize goes to
The Six Strings Sonics.
Oh, read all of those.
Oh, Spyglass, Gate Vision, Anima.
And the Encouragement Prize, snicker, snicker, goes to...
Conspiratio.
The Entertainment Division, the Grand Prize, went to...
Flipbook by Juan Carlos Ospinala Gonzalez.
The Excellence Prize went to...
Nintendogs. Hina Wamono, Mitsui Fudosan, Shiburaru,
We're skipping these, screw it. The list of recommended works can be seen on their official website. Of particular interest, the recommended anime were some crap. Alright, fine, read those.
Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam, a new era translation, Heirs to the Stars. The Place Promised in Our Early Days, Fullmetal Alchemist, The Conqueror of Shambhala, Blood, Plus, Speed, Grapher, Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, The Laughing Man, Eureka, Seven Palms of Planets.
That's Eureka.
Isn't that what I said?
Close enough.
Oh, Seikano, Another Love, Tideline Blue, Honey and Clover, Furukawa,
I've heard good things
Alternative.
About Honey and Clover.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Mahime, Masude Kusoku Theater, Oh, no.
Gagmana Biori.
Yeah.
And we're skipping all the rest, damn it. Okay, Pokemon USA takes over Pokemon licensing. As of January 1st, Pokemon USA will take over all aspects of Pokemon licensing from 4Kids. Since Pokemon USA was founded in 2001, licensing responsibilities were split between the two companies, but now all licensing will be handled by Pokemon USA. In addition, Anime News Network has learned that 4Kids will not be producing or distributing the English language version of the next Pokemon TV series to be released in North America, Battle Frontier. No one from Pokemon USA was available to confirm how or when the next series will be produced and distributed, but we can only hope that they can do a superior job.
No kidding, man.
All I can say is I'm glad to have more money pulled out of 4Kids' wallet.
Alright.
Now this one is interesting.
Japan has used anime to buff its image in China. Over the past several months, we've reported on several Japanese government programs aimed at increasing the awareness and appreciation of anime in other countries.
Indeed.
Now, Asahi has posted an English article...
Asahi.
Oh, you're right.
I think they left off the S, but who knows.
Asahi has posted an English article about a Japanese government program aimed at using anime and J-pop to polish Japan's tarnished image in China. Unlike previous programs that we've reported on, this is the first one focused on one single country. In total, Japan will spend 3.11 billion yen, or $26.8 million, on PR in China, not only anime or pop-related PR.
Yes, so I need to do a little aside here for a moment, DB3. The Japan's tarnished image in China comes from the fact that during the expansionist period of Japan during the 20th century, there was a massacre that Japanese people inflicted upon this one Chinese group. I think they killed something like 50,000 people.
Wow.
And in the official chosen Japanese high school history books, this wasn't mentioned as a massacre, only as an incident, and no numbers were released in there as to the number of killed. And this has caused a large number of protests in the oppressive totalitarian state of China, which is rather uncommon to see because it's an oppressive totalitarian state. Communism. And to actually see people risking their lives to go and be imprisoned over this, obviously big deal to people who have descended from victims of that and such. As a matter of fact, one man who was protesting against this, like, I think he was sending out newsletters about it. He got 10 years in prison in China.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
Not a nice place to live.
Yeah.
So let's change this a bit with some good news for American fans on the East Coast.
Yes, the New England Anime Society is working with the First Night Boston to celebrate the First Night in anime style. From 1 p.m. to 11 p.m. on December 31st, Boston's 2006 First Night celebration will include free anime screenings at the Heinz Convention Center.
Very nice. All right, now a little bit about the shorts that Ghibli has at their Ghibli Museum. Walker Plus, that's www.walkerplus.com, which is important later on in the article, has posted some information about and images from the three new short movies Hayao Miyazaki has released for the Ghibli Museum. English translation of the text is on the Walker Plus page, which is just walkerplus.com. Hoshi Wo, Katahi, and Mizugumo Monmon will premiere on January 3rd at the museum. Here's a slightly easier one for you to do, DB3.
Yes, Gundam Seed 3. According to Moonphase, the February issue of Comic Gum reports that Sunrise is now planning a new Gundam Seed work. And we're not going to tell you any more details, because we don't know any.
So, Namco Bandai Holdings, as some of you may recall, Bandai bought Namco about a year or two ago, recently issued a press release outlining its North American subsidiaries as they are to be known now that Namco and Bandai have merged. The companies are Bandai America, Namco Cybertainment, Namco America, Namco Bandai Games America, Namco Networks America, and Bandai Entertainment. No mention of Bandai Visual USA was made.
New digital manga titles. Digital Manga has updated their website with information about the new titles announced in November. They've also added some previously unmentioned titles, Almost Crying by Mako Takahashi, and J-Boy by Biblos, in an anthology of one-shot stories from Biblos' Japanese magazine, Junk Boy.
And some fun news, and our last bit of news, so you kind of picked up towards the end. The Tales of Phantasia OAV website has updated with a new trailer for the fourth and final episode to be released in Japan on February 24th. Those not fortunate enough to be able to go and import Japanese OAVs can check out the GameCube game. And that's it for us, for the anime news at least.
And shall we find out what this is just the first item in our list to do tonight, so...
Yes, we've got many things to do. One of which is to be much more entertaining in our review section. I think that can be managed.
It's not a new view, it's not a preview, it's a review. Anime review.
Yeah, so about those reviews, what do we got to review this time, DB3?
Well, we have The Seven Samurai. Samurai 7, that's his name.
True.
We have Gravitation. And
true.
The Escaflowne movie.
True. What is that full title, anyways?
What, of the Escaflowne movie?
Yeah, I think it's Escaflowne, A Girl in Gaia. Well, apparently, for the North American release, they slaughtered the name. Damn you, Bandai Entertainment. I hope your merger goes to hell. And so they changed it for being called Escaflowne, A Girl in Gaia, with that nice, you know, you remember the picture of Hitomi on the stone and surrounded by flowers and everything, with this dark, bloody, violent-looking cover, and renamed it from A Girl in Gaia to Escaflowne, the movie. But damn it, it's still A Girl in Gaia. Man, I like that picture a lot better. All right, anyways, DB3, what else?
Those are our three movies.
Okay, so that's what we're going to be reviewing. And we really don't have much good to say about any of these. Not that there's not some good in each of them.
Yeah.
They're just, none of them are exceptional.
Right.
And to counter our really drawn-out news, we're going to do these in a bit of a more condensed version, kind of get to the point, if you will. DB3, you've seen it the most often. Summarize the first volume of Samurai 7.
All right, Samurai 7, basically, this is after a great war. Samurai became some
mention
of them,
what it's based off of.
Oh, it's based off of an old Japanese movie called The Seven Samurai.
And I thought it was Chinese.
Oh, it might have been Chinese.
Yeah.
Samurai, some, I don't know.
Anyway, go on with what you do know.
Yeah. But it's basically this town's getting ransacked by people, by bandits, and they're like, we need to get some samurai to save our town.
Of course, it should be mentioned that these bandits are actually samurai that sacrifice their bodies into becoming the ultimate weapons, which are these crazy giant biomechanical thingamajigs.
Yeah.
It's a crazy damn show.
Yeah, so they send water priestess
mm-hmm.
to go, douse, that's the word where they go.
Dousing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To find some samurai. And basically, that's what the first... just gives us them finding samurai.
Yeah, she's like, oh, we need to go and find the samurais to go and stop them. And they find this dude, he's like, I don't want to do it. She's like, oh, you please, you, I'm on dowsing chairs. And he's like, no, I don't think so. I've got an attitude problem. And then she gets kidnapped by the weirdo prince who just absolutely needs to have her for his collection of girls. He's very feminine. Oh, but he loves the women. And then there's the crazy steam samurai guy. Eventually the guy's like, fine, I will do this for you, but I'm going to need some more men. Approximately 7 of them, give or take.
Yeah.
And that's more or less the whole first volume.
Yeah. There, this isn't, I don't know.
She's got her little sister, is with the water priestess, and one of the farmers was sent with her.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
He was the one whose idea was originally or something.
To go and hire the samurai.
Yeah.
Because he had heard other villages had done the same.
Something
thing,
like that,
blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah.
Yeah, that's about... There's nothing really great about the series. The first three episodes were pretty slow.
Mm.
The only thing great is that I sort of like the fight scene at the end.
It's got really nice animation, very smooth flowing, especially during the fighting.
It does. I did notice my brother...
The same characters...
Both
in design and action.
When I watched this with my little brother, he did point out how there are no clones. Like, all the...
The background characters were unique.
Yeah, and I thought that was nice.
So, attention to detail they had.
Yeah.
The music didn't really even stand out.
No.
Good sound effects.
Yeah, very, very fluid.
Sometimes
they could have done better with the CG.
The little girl was cute.
They could have done better with the CG.
Yeah.
It's just a mediocre...
Yeah, it's not really bad, but it's not really good. I mean, you know...
I mean, it has potential to become good.
Right.
But also has a lot of potential
to
become a
melodrama.
It could
really either way.
Yeah.
So, as you can see, very forgettable.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Neutral.
Yeah, what you going to give this one as a recommendation?
I'm just going to give this a neutral.
DB3 had to assist in helping me actually watch through all four of these volumes. It took me like a month,
episodes.
Maybe a month and a half,
yeah,
to get through these four episodes. And so, yeah, it's about as neutral as you're going to find.
Yeah.
So, yeah, neutral, neutral. Next up, which one should we review?
Gravitation.
Or as I like to call it, gyration. And they need to stop putting phallic objects in their mouths in this show. God, it's not french fries or pins, it's pocky, and they're always in the mouth of the beans. DB3, summarize the plot, if you will.
Well, I'll tell you what we saw in the episodes we've watched.
Which was one episode of the first volume.
It was enough to
give us the impression of what this show is going to be about in its entirety.
Basically, this kid who's a band, who writes lyrics
for a popular J-pop group.
Oh, I don't think they were popular quite yet.
No, remember those, like, how many colleges, like, do you consider yourself a success? And they're like, no, we need to constantly try and be better. And it's like, even after selling an ass full of copies and they had
you
all those
records
on the wall.
You need to be better like this guy.
Huh?
They said that you need to be better like such and such. It wasn't the kid who wrote all those.
No. I know the writer didn't say that, but I'm saying they'd won lots of albums, got a lot of stuff when they were being interviewed by that girl.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know, you've sold so many, how can you say you're not satisfied, you know? So,
all right.
They are popular.
Yeah.
But tragically, the lyric writer cannot find inspiration, DB3.
Right. He cannot. It's just, there's like a writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's not writing from the fiery passions of his soul.
That's true. And he's running through the park and he bumps.
Wait.
Oh.
What did one of the other singers suggest you were about to say?
He'll find the guy a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. So he can be inspired.
Right.
And then he goes to the park and it jumps the shark. DB3, go on.
Yeah, he jumps. What?
No, I'm saying, okay, it was crazy crap up to this point with the insane blah-blah manager and everything, right?
Okay.
It was
okay.
Pretty crazy, but acceptable.
Yeah.
But then, when he goes to the park, it jumps the shark.
Yeah, he drops his lyrics, and this guy picks him up. He's like, these are crap! You're a freaking crappy writer.
That just reminds me of something, DB3.
Huh.
You remember, we've watched Kaleido Stage in the past, yes?
Right.
And I need to review Volume 2.
I've watched Volume 2.
Oh, so we can review it together.
Yeah.
So you get a bonus review of this episode, people. As you can see, we have a lot to review. That's why we're not playing the old review. So, here's a question. Isn't that what, what's that famous skater called? What's the name of the guy that played Luke Skywalker in Star Wars?
Mark Hamilton?
Yes. Okay. The Hamilton girl in Kaleido State.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't she say to Zora, oh, your moves are horrible, you'll never be able to do anything here, just get out of Kaleido Stage. I do not want Kaleido Stage to go the way Gravitation went. I do not want to see... Well, I'm not even going to go there. I don't want to taint the nice Kaleido Stage with the mention of this possible thing. They're all good friends there. I don't want them to be more than good friends. Friends with benefits. Oh, sorry. I interrupted your talk. It has nothing to do with friends with benefits.
But basically,
band members.
Basically, this guy, the lyrics writer, tries to hunt him down and find out why he hates it, and he goes and tells his band members. His band members like, I have to share you with someone now? How heartbreaking.
And then the background turns pink and yellow.
And he's like, you join the club. And he's like, what? You're in love with him. What? He's a guy. I like girls. Yeah. And then he's like, you know where he lives. Go find him.
And then he does. Tell him what happens when he goes and he finds him.
The guy pushes himself onto the poor kid to run away a girl.
Yeah, chase her off by pretending he's gay. Oh, wait. He wasn't pretending.
And the guy's like, that's what you wanted. You know you did. That's why you keep coming to see me. It's not like the music's bad. And he just wants to know why the guy thinks it's bad. No.
Yeah, and so he rushes after the guy who's going back up to his apartment. He's like, that's not true. If you thought my music was horrible, then you just ignore me or tell me to get the hell out of here. But you keep saying things, so I keep coming back. So the guy kisses him. That's the end of the first volume.
First episode.
It was the end of the first volume. We turned it off, didn't we? It was the end. So, as you can see, Gravitation has very high-quality animation and some very likable music, though some of the lyrics and some of the songs could have been better. The animation quality was very high, and the character designs, as far as the looks go, were well-balanced. However, it tended to go and oversimplify things and not have the proportions exactly correct. The storyline, while it could have used some work, moves at a decent pace, but could have been better situated to be paced better throughout the initial episode, as we're gone and thrown into it, initially being the group's very popular instead of going and seeing their meteoric rise to stardom initially. Also, it just kind of sucked. I think that more or less covers everything else.
Yeah.
So, here's the thing. We already covered in a previous episode how we at ASO Radio don't like to go and think of ourselves as discriminatory, that we're open to things. But one of the things we're not open to, no, not queers and steers. No, one of the things we're not open to is crappy anime. Now, this show had high production value.
It did.
It used a very popular licensed Japanese band to go and provide the music. But what it didn't have was believability. It's absolutely ridiculous with the way that characters fly off the walls and the way they act, how it turns out that every guy in Gravitation Town is swinging for the other team, and so on and so forth. It's just completely ridiculous in its nature. Now, I'm sure that a well-worked-out Yaoi title we'd give possibly a recommended to, but this is not going anywhere near recommendatory,
no,
is it, DV3?
It's not.
What are you giving this one?
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
You remember when we used to have the audience here?
Right.
I'm afraid to listen to this.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to give it a neutral.
Just remember, though, she might write in if you go and make her upset.
I can give it a neutral and feel safe.
So that is what your final rating is going to be,
my
neutral?
My final ranking is going to be a neutral.
Okay, I'm going to go and give this a not recommended. Because like I said, while it has high production values, the story is just completely unbelievable.
If you like guys with long hair,
yeah, if you don't like plot, but basically eye candy that'll rot both your eyes and your brain, this is it.
Yeah.
Eye candy both being visual and love. Oh, speaking of unrealistic love, we've got to do the Escaflowne movie. Boy, that was almost as rushed as the love story in Crest of the Stars, wasn't it?
Oh, my.
You saw Crest of the Stars, right?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, yes, they're destined. Let's hook them up and leave them in the room, and they're, like, instantly in love. That was only slightly more rushed than the Escaflowne movie.
Yeah.
DB3, take it away.
I don't want to.
Look, it's been a while since I saw the first part of it. You're going to have to go and do it because I was busy compiling the news while you were watching this.
And it was crappy news!
And it was crappy news, yes, but I did compile.
All right.
And I only started watching up after the point that I had watched it.
Basically, it starts out with them stealing the... I can't even think of it. Escaflowne. There we go. And then it flips over to... Man, this is so bad, I can't even remember the names.
You tell me?
Thank you. You tell me being all depressed and wanting to kill herself and blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah. Yeah. They told me it's just, I don't know. It's funny how I thought how...
Well, here, express the differences between the TV show and the movie, because I know that's what you're trying to aim towards.
Yeah. Basically, in the TV series, they told me he's all upbeat and always going for a hole, like...
She's kind of like the shining symbol of hope that gives all the rest of the rundown ragtag group their inspiration.
Yeah, saying, it's not over yet. We still have something. And this is just like, yeah, my life sucks. I want to kill myself. There's nothing to live for. But I'm such a wimp, I can't even do that. And then she gets taken to...
Gaia.
Gaia by...
That's becoming a girl in Gaia, not a movie.
Go on. By Van's brother. Not by Van, killing a dragon.
No.
But by her brother.
His brother.
Yeah, his brother.
Then she ends up in Gaia.
She ends up with Gaia, right in front of Van.
Yeah, Escaflowne gives bloody birth to her.
I never even thought of it like that. But he did. I don't know what to say about this, Enzi. I just... I wasn't into the movie.
Off-put by it?
I just wasn't into the movie.
Tell them about differences with Alan Van and...
Oh, the art styles?
Well, the art style, too, but just describe how, like, Van's different, and Alan's different, and Malerna's different.
I don't know, like... You know how, like, Alan's all chivalristic, and he had, like... You'd think of, like, a gentleman, but
mm-hmm,
a knight.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was just, like... He was barely in it, and then he was just, like, a knight's cat. Like, he was just, like, a pirate captain.
Yeah, he wasn't even royal.
Yeah, he's just a pirate... A captain of a pirate ship.
Man, his sister's dressed like a hooker.
Malerna. Yeah. I didn't even recognize his Malerna.
Yeah.
Even the voice, I didn't click until he's like, Malerna, why are you doing that? I'm like, what?
And then Van, he's all violent and ruthless and stuff.
Yeah, he reminded me of someone you'd see that, like, he reminded me of the prince on Princess Mononoke.
Mm.
Some of his actions and stuff, I was like,
Are she talking?
Yeah, that's his name. I don't know. Something I didn't like about this movie, there are no... Oh, my goodness.
It's a completely different story from the television series,
yeah,
too. In the art style, they tried to go for more realistic, but still retain the large eyes, so that was really wacky.
Yeah, but like I was saying, there's no gameliths in it or anything. It's, they have magic and stuff. I don't know.
All of the Dragon Clan descendants have magic. Apparently, even Delandau was a Dragon Clan descendant in this one.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I can't... But like we were talking about, is the love between
Van
and
Hitomi.
Yeah. It was pushed a lot, like...
Really rushed.
Yeah. I don't even know how to describe how it was rushed.
And so, basically, in a nutshell, Hitomi gets broken out of her depression by falling in love with Van, and so instead of wishing for the death of herself and the world, like she was summoned to do in the hopes of, Full Kid... Instead, she wants to go and preserve the world because she's in love and realizes that everything's not depressing, but Fulcan's too far gone, and so he dies. But right before he dies, he's gone and remembers the good times when his little brother looked up to him and followed him, even though he felt cheated. That went and helped to go and redeem his soul, and then the place fell down, destroying the city even more after the Gaimels had already gone and wrecked it all. And then it's like, oh, we're going to be together forever. And then she's summoned away by the Mystic Moon, apparently, because she finally got out of her depression and everything's good.
And then the Mystic Moon disappears.
Then the Mystic Moon disappears from the sky.
Yeah.
Even though it's been there for thousands of years.
Yeah.
After Hitomi sprouted wings.
Yeah, she sprouted wings.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, her soul finally could soar. I don't know what they were going with this movie, if they were trying to be symbolic or just try to go and completely throw people off by changing everything around, but I can tell you that it didn't have good results in the end. BB3 seemed largely bored by this in certain points and depressed by it, and it is a very depressing movie. As a matter of fact, the first time I saw this at Nandetsu Con 2001, I told these guys, oh, this is horrible. Just like I told them about the Oh My Goddess movie. Now, granted, that turned out to be better than I thought, but still not quite up to the OAV. Although it is likable in its own regard. But this movie certainly did not disappoint in me being right about it being horrible. I had to watch it in part there, had to stop, tried it again, had to stop. Went back thinking maybe it would be okay, so I jumped into the middle of it. It actually kind of picks up after you get into it. But, DB3, what you giving this one?
Not recommended.
Not recommended. And I'm going to go and give this one a neutral. Because there's some good points to it, like the high production values, but they've just kind of gone and completely foobarred it, as they say.
If you like the TV series, don't watch the movie.
Or watch the movie before you watch the TV series, and you'll appreciate it all the more.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Neutral for me, not recommended from DB3, let's fan mail.
Fan mail, 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 fan mail!
Psych!
Okay, we actually got two more reviews to do. And then we'll do the fan mail. So... I'll keep these brief, because I know we've been talking for a while.
Actually, I can do Clytostar pretty quickly.
True. Go ahead.
Alright. On this Clytostar, there are four episodes. The first, Sora finds a shield. The shield tries to make the Clytostar's new mascot.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, they would send to kick her out. And basically...
But she would have none of it, because she was an orphan. Yeah. Fell.
But basically, she convinces them that she shows how it can be used as part of the show and bring people in, and they accept it. Second episode.
Of course, it should be mentioned the fool saw the luck was the draw for the thing, so he was like a lucky seal. He's like, no, but I hate him, you know, because he keeps messing with the fool, chewing on him, licking him, and whatnot.
And then in the second episode, she meets this Diablo. Do you know what the Diablo?
The Diablon.
Oh yeah, Diablon.
Which is basically a wild balancing juggling act thing.
Yeah, who's like, she meets this Diablon pro who's won the world championships for the last 4 years.
She's lost the joy of performance.
Yeah.
And so it helps her rediscover it. Next episode.
Next episode. Oh, it's... Were there only 3 episodes on it? Oh, no, the next one's the birthday for the one girl.
Uh-huh. That's right. And for, what's her name? I know her last name's Hamilton. Oh, wow.
For Ms. Hamilton, she has a birthday, and basically in this episode, her and Sora finally become friends.
Yeah, she finds out that her dad's always, you know, loves her a lot, but he's a really busy businessman and doesn't spend enough time with her, so that she doesn't feel that her dad loves her. They all try to cheer her up, but eventually her dad goes and, well, don't want to spoil it, but, you know, shows that he really cares and everything.
Yeah. And the final one, Sora gets the chance to make the lead for the new play, Little Mermaid.
Be the star, even.
Yeah. And she has to do it, this maneuver through a waterfall. She can't see the other... Oh, what is it? The other...
Bar.
Yeah. The other bar.
Trapeze bar.
That's what it was. And she misses it. Well, she actually grabs it and she falls.
Yeah, she barely, like, touches it.
Yeah. No, she
grabs
on.
Late.
Yeah, she grabs on with both hands and then she slipped.
Right, that's
And she falls. And she's too scared to try it again. And this, I really thought this episode was pretty funny, because there were parts when, like, she gets a kung fu master showing her all these techniques of concentration.
I forget her manager's name, but she's absolutely hilarious, her manager. And she brings in her kung fu master to go and teach Zora the way of being able to do it without seeing and all. And Ken, of course, who, really likes Zora, is helping her out with this whole thing, and she's, like, talking, and he thinks that she's talking about it, and he's like, what, really? It's like, blah, 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 I'd find out, you know. But, very funny.
More is revealed about Ken. He used to be in the pilot stage, and he fell off a trapeze the same way.
And that's why he became a stagehand,
right?
Because he couldn't do it.
He also, I think, he was the one who was able to see the fool.
Mm-hmm. The fool had mentioned that earlier, but not his name.
Right. So, and she has to overcome this fear.
And the episode's basically spent doing that.
Yeah.
So that wasn't really short, DB3, but I appreciate your input. Once again, this volume helps really illustrate that the animators for this have an excellent sense of anatomy. They're really good at maintaining proportions and the flexibility and maneuverability of the bodies of the performers and everything. Very brightly colored, well animated, nice music, all in all a nice package. DB3, what you giving it?
I'm giving this a highly recommended.
And I am also giving this a highly recommended, because I really like this show. It just does everything
it
right.
It does.
Okay, next up, Maishi ni Kaku, Volume 90. Alright, I'm sorry, Volume 6. This is the third disc of the second box set. Which this actually is a 96 episode anime series. I've barely scratched the surface. I'm only like up to 20 something, like 24. Alright, blah 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 blah. Okay, this one contained episodes 21 through 24. Remember that when I put up the reviews,
21 through 24, alright.
And I hope you remember the number where we left off last time in the interview. Damn, this is going to be a long episode. Okay. First episode was good. I panicked. The cat who came to Ikaku. Basically, Godai gets suckered by his friend into going and taking in a cat, who, of course, had to be gone and named Kyoko, to take him in because he couldn't, so he got Godai drunk and goaded Godai into going and taking the cat in, which, of course, leads to hilarity when Godai goes and talking on the phone and says, oh, yes, Kyoko sleeps with me every night. She's always rubbing up against me and waking me up. Then there's volume two, which is called Godai Gets a Shot, Kyoko Calls It Quits. This is actually a two-parter, where the first part basically is Kyoko's parents are trying to go and force her to quit being the manager of My Shinikaku and come back to be live under their roof and get married again, since, you know, they don't want her daughter being on her own and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, don't make yourself a widow, get married again, blah, blah, blah. And so they basically interfere, and the end of this episode ends with a cliffhanger. Then, number three, Kyoko's Brush with Danger, Mother's Nefarious Plot, just more or less continues this story. Godai ended up going on a date with Kozue, and this is actually ties into the previous two episodes. It's almost like a three-parter, if you will.
Yeah.
And anyways, DV3 saw this episode
with me.
Actually
saw the two of them.
And he saw the one before this episode as well. And it was rather funny when Kozue says, oh, you should try on a tie for our next day. And he's like, well, okay, that seems kind of odd. And he's like, you had me put on a tie just to go shopping? And then it turns out, oh, no, they weren't going shopping just for a melon. They were going shopping to take a melon as a gift to her parents because he wanted her.
She
wanted him to meet her parents. And they end up going up. She asks him to come up to her room and everything. The parents are pushing for them to go get married, and so she's up in the room, and she goes and positions herself for a kiss from Godai, and he's like, well, should I? Shouldn't I? I don't know what to do. Well, like they say, you gotta get what you're getting's good. And so he goes to kiss her and is forced into a shotgun wedding and all this stuff, and turns out to be a daydream, but it's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
And then he remembers about how Kyoko was going to Soichiro's grave that day, and
her dearly
departed husband. And so he runs, he's like, oh no, she's going to be stuck with her parents, I feel so sorry for her. Which, of course, it was at that point that Soichiro's father was telling her, you know, oh, you need to get on to your life and, you know, honor him by going and making yourself happy, because that's what he'd want. And she's like, eventually they decide between him and her that, well, she's just going to stay at My Shinikaku until she finds her way in life, because she likes being there with the residents and everything, which, of course, is the thrill to Godai once he realizes that she's not moving away, which was in the prior episode, but still it was funny to go see him falling asleep on her and be like, oh, manager, you're not leaving and whatnot. And she, of course, not pushing him off, which, you know, they're growing fonder of each other, DB3. And the last episode was kind of funny because it was basically like my family, which was shouting and being obnoxious in public and like, oh, you don't miss your mother, blah, 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 blah. For referencing my grandmother. So, how do we go and rate this episode, DB3?
You
know, volume.
I can honestly say I haven't really liked My Shinikaku. Like, it hasn't really clicked with me. All the episodes I've seen, I just like, eh.
Unfortunately, it seems that whenever I show someone this series, they see the episodes that aren't good.
But these episodes I watched, they were funny. I was laughing. I really liked them. I'm going to give this... ooh. This is close to highly recommended. Like, it's right there on the screen.
Walking the line.
But I think I'm just going to give it a recommended. But it is right there. It is right there.
Yeah, the first volume, DB3, didn't miss much. Like I said, it was the first part of this plot line of the conniving parents, which they are rather conniving, or conniving. And then before that, the cat episode, which really wasn't very strong. I think you saw that.
Uh-oh.
You didn't see the cat?
I only saw the one with the
maybe mom. No, I watched that one with a different friend of mine. So, I don't know whether I want to give this a highly recommended or not. The meddlesome parents I found more annoying than anything. The cat was kind of super flourish, so I'm just going to go and give this a run, recommended too. Hopefully, the next volume, we're just flying through the seasons, will prove to be even more enjoyable. At least, I assume it will be more enjoyable than Gravitation Volume 1.
Alright, now let's get back to the news.
News! No news! Bad mail!
I was just caught up in the moment, thinking, wanting to make this episode long, because I know how everyone loves...
long episodes are great!
Yeah. Okay, on with the fan mail.
This first fan mail is from Warp Shadow, subject, episode 83.
Hey guys, you were right. These past couple of episodes are really shaping up to be some of the best ones ever.
Just wait till you listen to this episode.
Keep up the good work. Now for my list. My favorite Christmas episode is the one on Martian successor Nadisco,
which we'll be reviewing in the future.
And number two, the Full Metal Alchemist gum can only transmute your cavities into something equally painful and unsightly. The law of equivalent exchange must be obeyed at all times.
You know, I had a really witty joke I was going to make in response to that, but I kind of lost it. Probably was something related to the lip balm from Fruits Basket. Let's see, Full Metal Alchemist gum can only transmute your cavities into something equally painful and unsightly. The law of equivalent exchange must be obeyed at all times. So, if you want to get rid of that tooth pain and supplant it with a hernia, chew Full Metal Alchemist gum. Okay, so, damn, that was some short fan mail. But, that does provide a nice segue, what a crazy company. Provides a nice segue into our hotspot, which will feature the second half of our interview, but not before we talk a whole bunch more. Or what do you think, DB3? Do we need to do our what to buy with your holiday gift card thingamadooey now or after the interview?
It's after the interview.
My thoughts exactly. We don't want to bore people too much.
Oh, baby, a hot spot.
You basically have to kind of let your imagination take things over to really get into some of the roles you guys have to play, I imagine.
Oh, I get really loud, you know. We have to put in filters. Okay, go for it, you know. Exactly. The sound guy's like, okay, wait, let me brace for it. Sometimes we catch his ears and like, hold on, I got to flip the switch, you know.
They did that at the cosplay panel. They could have used doing some of that, some of those cosplays. They were kind of loud. But all right then, let's go over to Brad.
Thank you.
For a moment.
Yeah.
And okay, so now, you know, Dragon Ball Z, of course, people, ooh, it's a Dragon Ball Z. I made fun of that in so many episodes, I've lost count. And then you go and you switch, and you're like, you know what? I need to do Hannah. I need to do Boys Over Flowers. You know, I need to go and do a soft-spoken, you know, friend to the girl that he has the crush on and everything. And so it's funny, though, that they do one set of voices for Canada, and then they do another set of voices for America. And what was it kind of like, you know, did you feel like you had to go and match up with someone, or you're like, oh, he doesn't matter, I am taking the character, and I shall do with him as I see?
Well, the strange thing about Dragon Ball Z, from what I know, is it began recording in Vancouver, Canada, which is where I live and work. And so they began the production there, and then it halted for whatever reason, and then the entire production ended up going down to Texas. And
quite the latitude change.
Yeah, absolutely. So suddenly, yeah, I assume it was recast and, you know, entirely new cast, great American cast. And then for whatever reason, I think there was some popularity that was gained from the characters that had began the show. And I mean, it makes sense. You start watching it, and if the characters change, I can only imagine how it is for a show like Mega Man, where I kind of walk in there. It's got to be kind of strange, you know? So, yeah, somebody, I guess, decided that they were going to, you know, continue on with the series, and so, yes, now, like you said, there's, you know, a Canadian version that has the Canada and the UK release, and then there's the US version. But for
our overseas listeners are more familiar with.
No. So
we got people listening from England and India and all sorts of places. So.
Now, the thing that's crummy for me about that is I have yet to see a DVD that I can purchase of Dragon Ball Z that's got the cast that I'm in. Just because I think the Funimation version is what gets circulated through North America. So, I mean, I'd have to go abroad, I suppose, to find it. And I haven't really looked on eBay too closely, but I could probably find something there.
So what you're saying is you need to howl around a bit?
Right? But, with Dragon Ball Z, it was a great show to get cast, and because I played Teen Gohan, who obviously isn't teen right at the start, so I already knew how popular the show was, and you know, a bunch of my fellow voice actors
like
working.
Dormant for a while, they changed the slot, get on Cartoon Network, and it's all popular, and we got to finish, you know, all 300 odd episodes or so.
So it's one of those shows that when you get the audition, you already have a pretty good idea of, well, for me, who's working on it, and you know, how much fun they're having, and how the show's doing, and you know, what it's like, and all that. So that's one of the auditions that you really want to land. And when I found out that I had got Gohan, I mean, you can't do much better than that. So that was a blast.
That's true. Do we have to wrap it up here? Or okay. 5 minutes? Oh, okay, we don't have to wrap it up at all. All right, well then, in that case, we'll just go and hit a couple more of these really quick. Okay, so first of all, you were talking at this at the Vocal Musings panel, which was good amusing, about doing Roger Rogers. So if you want to reiterate that just real quick for everyone.
Oh, that was an interesting character to begin with, because I never was supposed to have that character. It was like I addressed in the panel, is that the voice actor for Roger Rogers, you know, had to leave, and he hadn't recorded any of his lines.
Oh.
And it needed to go out. It needed to go out, like, now. You know, so
that street date slipping.
I was pretty much under the gun at that moment. So it was like, okay, you know, and the director's like, let's go. Let's get this thing rolling, you know, and it's just, boom, you know, just a lot of directing and coaching from the director to actually get Roger Rogers' voice to actually come out. And it's funny, too, because when I go back and listen to it, it doesn't sound like me. And a lot of people get thrown off of, which character were you in? You know, because they're so used to hearing
Golden. Do you look like the character you played?
No, I do not. He's a black guy. You know, I played a black guy, you know, with
well,
a big guy.
So many people, they'll assume, you know, in their minds, they see this cosplayer, they think, oh, they're like that character. They see the voice actors, and they think, oh, they've got to be like the characters that they play. You know, it must be.
Well, I guess I did a pretty good job of fooling the audience, because they couldn't pick out which character I was, you know. So when they say, which character were you? It's like, I was Roger. Oh, no. Oh, I didn't know that, you know. So it's like surprising to know that, you know, okay, I guess I can throw off my voice, you know.
Your vocal variety, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right, then. Well, it looks like we've got about 3 more minutes left that we have at our disposal. So, let's see here. Oh, well, okay, first real quick, since this doesn't involve any backstory, how's your artist alley table been? Has it been crazy busy?
Oh, it's been crazy busy. It has its spurts here and there. I have big fans of Golden Boy come up and sign like Golden Boy. It's Golden Boy just keeps going and going and going. It just amazes me. It's recorded in 95, 94, still going strong. It's like a cult classic in the anime world, I guess. One of many that are out there. It's in one of those categories, and it's just
anime. If you get into it, you're ageless. So always be asked about that.
Oh yeah, totally.
Recall the old stories.
It was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, okay. We'll switch back over to Brad here, because I have so many bullet points, because you've kind of been a busy voice actor. Voice acting.
Brad.
As busy as I can be.
You do lots of artists like, oh hey, so yeah, I heard you did a really cool picture. Oh yeah, I sold it to this guy. He paid $50. It was great.
Nice. Go for $50.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. I don't know. Maybe it was really big.
You talk about the painting?
I don't know. I was just making an example out of my head.
No, only one. What is alt? Man, I'm sorry.
It was a theoretical situation. Okay. So, all right. I was going to ask about Video Girl Eye, but we're running out of time. So instead, I'm going to ask you about what I really want to ask you about: Maxwell on that
time. How was that role? That was a blast. I mean, working on a show that's geared mainly towards kids, so that my little nephew could watch and things like that, very cool. And I mean, a big ensemble cast like Hamtaro has, it's a total blast. I mean, half of the lines that I read in that were alongside, you know, 10 other hamsters or something. So I mean, it's just insanity. Of course, there's singing that comes along with that show, and just we had a
but you don't get
hamtastic time.
But okay, I was just BSing you. It's just Hamtaro's crazy funny, you know. It's just one of those. It's like Teletubbies in a way. It's not.
Come on.
I'm not saying Hamtaro's like Teletubbies. What I'm saying is it's just one of those shows that's not exactly a deep, thought-provoking show about the symbolism of the character's emotional relationship, but one of those that you can't help but smile when you watch it. You know,
my character never cried on that series, which is, you know, novel for most of the characters that I play.
But, okay, the real thing I was leading up to outside of that big build-up is, well, there's a reason that I wanted to talk to Trish and Tosh, as I was calling them earlier, is Romna 1.
Yeah, my shirt.
I'm a bit of a fan of Romna by my ensemble. And so It must have been very interesting being in that show. Is that towards the beginning of your acting
that
career?
That was my very first anime show. My very first anime audition, even. So, that was my first taste of, you know, matching voice flaps and doing all that kind of stuff. And I have a quick little funny story, I guess. When I found out that I got cast in Ranma, I was really excited because I got to see a little bit of the show in the original audition. So I went in there for our first session. They said, okay, so you're going to be playing a character named Moose. I didn't, you know, not antlers and horns, but more like hair products. I'm like, okay, so my character's called Moose. Okay, that's cool. So then I start to, you know, go through the script and we get to page, you know, let's say 14 or whatever, and I'm right, all queued up for my next line. This isn't me. We didn't tell. Okay, there's something you should know about your character. He splashed water on him. He turns into a duck. A duck. Oh, he turns into a duck. Okay, so my next three pages of dialogue, they're quacks? Yeah. So can you hear a quack? Quack. All right, you got three more pages. Let's go. Okay, angry quacking, happy cracking. All. So, I mean, that was a brilliant show to work on. I mean, Moose was just such a fun, over-the-top, zany, crazy, nuts, cool weapons type character to play. So.
I must say, in the Rama OAB special, where Shampoo gets the magic switching jewel that makes her angry or in love, very good quacking in there when you were tied up in the back room.
Oh, I thank you, sir. had to dig deep for that.
Plus, I've always thought it was funny when you're like, come back to me, Shampoo, why won't you date me? It's just
funny stuff. It's a
riot. Well, you guys got to get going, I suppose. So I'm going to ask you a bit about Gundam and the other things you guys have done. But time is limited, the con is fleeting, and we are but hours away from the closing ceremony.
Yep.
So I guess we do have to wrap it up. But there is one last thing I'd like to ask you guys.
Okay.
And it's not about boxers or briefs, because this is a show about anime, not about personal preference. Oh, wait, anime is all about this. We have the long-running small breast versus large breast debate.
Oh.
Regardless of such bouncy subjects, plastic little, I guess, huh? Would you guys like to go and do little plugs for our show in some of your various characters' voices real quick?
Sure, I guess, yeah.
Well, I borrowed, inspired by Japan Radio doing that a while ago, so... First of all, would you like to go and do something like, Ace Radio Dive Dive or something? I don't know. You know, just pick a voice, one you've done, one you make up. You know, just,
I could just say it the way I usually say it. Just,
sure.
Just like ASO Dive Dive.
Sure.
ASO Dive Dive.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice.
You want to do something like Moose, like, you know, come back to me, ASO. Do you like that?
Oh no.
ASO! Come back to me, ASO! Please!
It's been a pleasure having you guys on the show. I hope you guys tune in and listen and see how I manipulate the interview, put funny sound effects and put in those fart sounds. But really, it's been a pleasure and I'm glad you guys could come.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes,
thank you.
Oh, thanks.
So once again, thanks to Brad Smith and... Oh, I always mix them up, don't I?
Yeah.
Okay, you do the names.
Brad Swell and Doug Smith.
Yes, thank you both very much for doing this little interview with us. And you know, DB3, I hadn't realized how, if you will, constipated we were with content. We did something like 6 reviews, it seems.
Yeah.
Or at least 5. And then we got all of this... we did the fan mail. That was rather brief.
Yeah.
Then we've got this interview, but we still got more to do.
We
got your book review.
We have my book review.
And we have...
And?
Our holiday gift card recommended buys.
Oh, boy.
This is going to be... See, we're going out this year with a bang. I mean, really, this episode will be up on December 31st, and it's certainly going and concluding our Acer Radio year with a bang.
Yes.
Definitely going to have to get out a What's Up issue to go and tell about all the things that we've done since the last one, because this episode's big enough for a single issue of What's Up by itself, which, of course, people should sign up for our mailing list so they can keep updated.
You know what? I haven't got one for a while. I need to sign up.
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah.
Although I could have sworn I put your email on the list, but who knows? just funky stuff happened.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But if, you know, you want to join up on the mailing list, NZ17.com, you can find the link there.
I can?
You can.
Sweet.
All right. But, it's time for a book review by DB3.
All right. This book review will be going over The Warriors of Legend. Who's it written by?
You know, how about you go and get that book real quick, and I'll provide entertaining filler for our listeners.
You can start with the What to Buy.
Okay, that's a great plan. All right, now that DB3's out of the room, let me tell you a little something about old DB3 here, okay? He's like, okay, you ever see those guys that are muscular, but they're not brawny? You know, it's like they got a good build to them, but they're not, like, overly built. Well, he's super hunky in that way, and you can contact him at, hey, DB3, I was just saying that Sailor Moon's always a great buy, no matter what year it is, even if it is out of print and unavailable, and not possibly trying to hook you up with one of our beautiful female otaku listeners. That's completely from my mind.
We have a beautiful female otaku listener?
He looks just like the Bishonen from the Yoi. Sorry, I was just doing some Japanese lessons with our listeners. Go on and do your review.
So how far did you get in the... What did I...
Oh, I just barely scratched the surface. It was more like an introduction more than anything. Since you're reviewing Warriors of Legend, Reflections of Japan, and Sailor Moon, I figured that that would be a good tie-in, is to say Sailor Moon was good for any season.
Yes, it is. All right. Warriors of Legend, Reflections...
He has a Hotmail account. Email him there. Oh, sorry, that just, I've got this cold, makes me say crazy things.
Reflections of Japan and Sailor Moon is a really good book. I'll tell you what it's done for me. I was a fan of the book. It has...
Wait, you were a fan of the book?
I'm the fan of the show, sorry.
Oh, sorry, let me interrupt. This book was written by Jay Novak and Sushil K. Rudarant.
Yes. I am a fan of Sailor Moon. It was one of the first anime I watched. It, along with the original Dragon Ball, brought me into the world
of
anime.
The fun one.
Yes.
The fun Dragon Ball.
Yes. It's what brought me into the world of anime. And this book actually brought Sailor Moon to life to me. Like, it's amazing how much the... I can't even think of her name.
Naoko Takeuchi?
Yeah, Naoko Takeuchi. How much she put her own life into the Musho. She took so much from her own life, her own town, her own surroundings, and actually put it in there. Like, I can't even describe all the stuff that she's done.
Now, this book, it's about 150 pages long,
right,
give or take, but was it able to convey a lot of information in that amount of space?
It's unbelievable how much information you, like, the only thing that I wish I could have done more is, like, I wish I could be more familiar with Japan so I could understand it even better. Like, it makes me want to go and get that much more of a cultural understanding.
So did this bring a lot of that understanding to you?
It brought, I want even more now, to understand even more.
It's kind of like gives you a taste, and so now you're ready for the full course, eh?
Yeah.
Well,
there's three parts that she goes over in the book. She goes over, like...
Oh, and it's got a comprehensive glossary as an introduction to people that haven't seen Sailor Moon.
It's a great book.
If I may quote from
right.
the book, DB3... This book is organized into two sections. The first explores the way the city of Tokyo has shaped the contours of Sailor Moon. That Sailor Moon takes place in Tokyo, and furthermore, in one particular ward of Tokyo, has been essential to the series' development. Nearly every act of the manga or episode of the anime involves the city in some fashion. Okay, it goes really on. Oh, there. There's where I want to pick up. The second half of the book explores the reflections of Japan in the series' characters. We have divided the sections into five chapters, each of which is centered on a particular reflection. The first focuses on family, analyzing the nuances of Japanese families as depicted in Sailor Moon. And I thought I'd just read that little excerpt to go and give them a taste of how it's written, and also to go and refresh your memory on the structure.
Yeah.
Give it a little kickstart.
Some of the other things it talked about is religion, and how religion in Japan and religion from other places. Like,
so not just Shinto.
Right. It has Christian, it talks a little about Christendom, it talks about all sorts of things. It's an amazing book. I can't say enough good about it. Like... Remember when you first talked about the song? Yeah, we talked about the statue with the girl with the red shoes. It talked more about that. It talked I also like some of the stories.
There's several nice black and white illustrations and photographs in here that was taken from the various locations around Japan. They actually had a guy, I think it took him like 6 months to go and take all of these photographs around Japan. And they really help illustrate the book further.
Yeah. I also liked all the stories it had about the author. There's one story I liked about people, young American people who watched the anime, how they thought it was in France because of the Tokyo Tower, and how when they always see it, they would think it was the Eiffel Tower, and how it's a colonist misconception. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know. There's just so much. I don't even know.
Okay. Well, it said that the book was broken into two different sections, more or less. One about the city of Tokyo itself and how the land structure is.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that.
It just talks like it takes you'll see places in the anime, and then it'll take you to places where those actual places were, or that where they used to be when the anime ran, and it just like it tells you about the places.
I'd just like to interject real quick because I know a little bit about this. The anime, of course, was made back in 92, and Tokyo is a booming population. It's the most populous place in all of Japan, and so a lot of the stuff that was in Sailor Moon doesn't exist there anymore.
Right.
And so the authors had to travel there and find this out, usually from the older residents, and so they had to write about that from the memories of people in the region and whatnot.
Yes.
So, sorry to interrupt. Go on. You're talking about how it shows Tokyo and all the changes.
Yeah, but basically that's what it is like. There is a food store that you did always walk by, and because of copyright things and stuff, they had to change the name, but they only changed it like just enough where they could get by. But there used to be a food court, the Nickel Arcade. You remember the Nickel Arcade?
Yeah, the game center.
There used to be one there. Like, there's just all the stuff that was in the anime was there in real life.
And what about the second section, which talks more about various aspects of Japanese culture as reflected in the characters?
That, you know, that section helped me understand more about just all the, like, anime in general, Japanese people, just because it's like, that's why they do that, or, I can't think of any examples right now, but there's just so much that helps you understand more about Japanese
people.
So,
you've made a really good case for the educational value of this book. Really helps give you insights into anime and the culture that's, portrayed within it. So, obviously, as they say, you can take the businessman out of Tokyo, but you can't take the Tokyo out of the businessman. Or, I think there's some phrase out there like that. But what about its entertainment value? Does it give you this information in a digestible, fun format, or is it cut and dry?
Like, no, it is pretty fun. Like, they throw in stories about the author, throw in stories about all sorts of different stories. Like, it is a very learning, like, it teaches you a lot, but, like, you don't actually realize, like, it's not like you go and read...
It's not a textbook.
Right. It's not a textbook. That's actually what I was looking for. It's not that at all. Like, it helps you understand it. It's sort of fun. Like, there's one story I love to think about. It's when the author, she's, like, writing all this stuff, doing all this work, and she's just sick of it, and she's like, I'm quitting. I'm not doing this anymore. And the editor is giving, like, pay raise, vacation, help. And
trying
like,
to do anything you can to keep her putting out the good.
And she's like, no, I'm finished.
Well, why did she want to quit?
Just because she was tired. Like, she was doing so much stuff.
Didn't she say she was having, like, hand cramps and stuff?
Yeah, she was having half.
Oh, you want to read an excerpt?
Yeah. Let me see if I can find it here real quickly.
All right. Well, while you're scanning that, and for those people that don't know, now this doesn't cover just the manga or just the anime. It actually covers the anime, the manga, and a little bit of the live-action series, doesn't it?
It does. It also covers some of Sailor V.
Oh, the manga that
Naoko
Takeuchi did before she did Sailor Moon, which was the inspiration for the character of Sailor V, and because Sailor V, or Sailor Venus, was so popular that she went and she did Sailor Moon.
All right, here's what she was doing in one day, all right? It says, the Sailor Moon anime does not stop at season one, as we know. But that led to a problem. The anime was moving more quickly than the manga. Instead of waiting for Takeuchi to provide more stories, the animators created their own, which is the arc with the Demon Tree. Yep.
Oh, well, that's why it seems so out of place.
Right. It was just one in the number of moves that displeased Takeuchi, but she was so busy writing that the show had no time to worry about it then. At one point, her monthly workload included this. 40 to 50 page serial with 10 color pages, 2 special edition books, 64 page special issue supplements, 135 page trade paperback, outlines for anime episodes, and appointments and data collection. Sakauchi eventually came to the verge of total collapse. One day when she was and her editor were discussing a disagreement, she let him have it. She said, "I'm done. I'll not draw anymore." "What of the magazines that are waiting for your manga and animation series?" I'm going crazy. I'm stopping everything. I can't continue." And basically continued them arguing back and forth. And he finally answered, he was totally scared, and he's like, "Well, what about your readers?" And of course,
that was the straw.
She couldn't leave them. She thought about all those people that she had out there wanting, starving, just
needing more, right?
Yeah.
And she couldn't disappoint her fans.
Alright,
DB3. So, this book wraps up. How's the book wrap up in the end?
You know what? I couldn't really tell you because I was trying to finish it, and it was late. Just last night, actually, I finished it. But
it just more or less kind of reiterates some of the stuff, and
I believe that's what it is.
Just ties it all together, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, put this out in a bang. Summarize what makes this book so great, and give them your recommendation.
The reason this book is so great is it brings back one of my childhood memories and makes it even better. And I give this book a top recommendation.
Wow.
For two reasons. It made me love my show even more. And two, if I had never seen this show, it would make me love it. So, a top recommendation.
Not only does it enhance the experience of Sailor Moon, it enhances the experience of all anime, yes. I guess. Wow, that's pretty impressive, DB3. Top recommendation. We don't give those out too easily. Well, then, we'll be right on back with our anime holiday gift card roundup.
Gentlemen, I welcome you from the future. I'm the official spokesman for Spylore. Yes, Spylore. The toy company you haven't heard of because it doesn't exist yet. We have come from the past. Well, okay, maybe I should just start over. We've come from the future to the past, because in the future we are but a small toy company. But with our advanced technology, we will go and decimate all the other video game makers. With our new Spylore Game Station 64,000, this new game system is so advanced that it will make your eyeballs bleed from overexposure. Our system includes 64,000 bits of processing information in every bus channel. And this, my friends, means that you will get realistic experiences so in-depth, so exciting, so beyond today's technology that in the future Spylore will be the only company that exists, because we will have decimated everybody else with our advanced games, including Spyro the Dragon 87 and Final Fantasy XXX, exclusively only in the Spylore system. Because modern-day computers would take 18 weeks just to boot up the game. So be sure to visit us today at www.spylore.future.
A big shout-out of thanks to this episode's sponsor, Spylore. If you'd like to be a sponsor of ASO Radio, be sure to go and contact us through the fan mail and mention you'd like to go and sponsor the show.
Yeah.
Remember, the Spylore 6000. It's good enough for the children of the future, and don't you deserve to have future children? Okay, so, DV3, this brings us to our anime, our 2005 anime gift card roundup. Would you briefly explain to those listening what brought about this section and what it's all about?
Usually this section we throw out before Christmas. It's the section that we talk about anime that would be good for, if you want to get someone something and you're not sure what to get them, we usually go through anime types and genres and say what the best anime in the section is. But this year we're doing it a little different. We're going to tell you how to do with all the gift cards and all the money you got, what things you could look for yourself.
Exactly. And now last time we did our Christmas / holiday special, what to buy. Like DB3 said, we did it categories, and then we just listed whatever anime we thought were really good in those categories. This year, however, it's kind of our year-in-review roundup, if you will. If everyone else can do it, why not ASO Radio? So we're only going to be mentioning stuff that we've looked at this year that would make really good stocking stuffers. And just whatever comes to mind. But since, of course, Christmas is over, and not everybody celebrates Christmas, but people always get gift cards, we decided, hey, we'll just make it a what to use all your money on.
Yeah.
So, DB3, start this off. I'm going to go pull up our list of what we've reviewed this year, and you go ahead and you start off making a good gift card recommendation.
All right. One of the best things I could say to go and get is Full Metal Panic. I got the second volume from my little brother for this past holiday season, and I've watched it. It's even funnier than the first. I'm not kidding. There's more action. There's humor. It's great.
Now, was this the Fufumo one, the
no,
sequel, or this
it's
just
the original,
but the second volume?
But you get them both. Get the whole volume. But since we've only seen the first, since we've only reviewed the first, I'm going to say go for the first.
So, there you go. Now, let's see. Which episode did we start this year off at, DB3?
Oh, man.
No, further back, further back. I'm not even sure. Supergal seems far enough back. Cat Returns, no. Let's make the cutoff point episode 60.
All right.
I think that's good. Because we put out a lot of episodes this year.
We have.
Kind of made up a little bit for lost time in some sections.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Not Crest of the Stars, no. Now, what Nurse Witch Komugi would make a good gift for somebody that's kind of likes crazy zany anime.
Little kids would really like it.
I don't know, there's some sort of stuff in there that's not really little kid territory. But let's see, what else can
we... Cat Returns.
Cat Returns would be excellent to use with, like, an Amazon gift card or something to Suncoast.
Yeah.
That would be awesome to go and get with a gift card. Let's see, what else do we got? Excel Saga, that's perennially popular.
Yeah.
That's one of those with a lot of in-jokes, so if you know somebody that's seen a lot of anime and hates Captain Harlock, that's a good one to get.
Metal Fighter Miku, you have to...
That's a really great one, and you can get it for a really great price.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could still get that with a gift card.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's Evangelion, always popular, so we can hardly recommend that one.
Iffy.
Let's see. I wouldn't say Nazca, the Valley of the Wind, but Porco Rosso would make an excellent purchase.
Porco Rosso would. It would add to any library.
Now, Howl's hasn't come out on DVD yet. That's actually going to be February or March. Now, I know DB3 really liked that Data Toko Princess. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry, that's completely wrong. Girl Power, it's a one-episode OAV, but it is really good. I cannot recommend that one highly enough to people. Super Gals, that has a really nice art style, but beyond that, if you like the art style, I say go for it, but if you're looking for something more than that, don't bother.
Yeah.
Escaflowne, that's some good stuff. Dakota, well, everybody knows I like Dakota.
Hey, you got it as a present.
I did get it as a present this year during our NZ17 production Secret Santa.
Yeah.
So
no, it wasn't for the Secret Santa.
Oh, that was my birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, well, for the NZ17 production Secret Santa birthday. So that's a good one. His and Her Circumstances, you can pick up that box set from the Right Stuff International for $40, so that's pretty good. Kaleido Star, that's an excellent series.
Yep.
Very good.
This is my plan.
I'm
gonna, for my brother and sister, I'm gonna buy one volume for their birthday, one volume for Christmas, one volume for their birthday.
And repeat as necessary.
Right.
Very good.
So they'll know what they get, but they're gonna love it.
Samurai Champloo is a very good one for fans of, I don't know. Samurai Champloo is very similar yet very different to Bebop. So that one's kind of iffy, but you know, look at it on Cartoon Network, decide if you want to get that. Oh My God, It's the Movie, that's reasonably priced. You could get that with a gift card. Not a bad purchase, but don't go in expecting it to be like the TV show or OAV. Of course, Maisuni Kaku. If you like romantic comedies that have more of an emphasis on the romance than the comedy, but still provide plenty of chuckles, that's a good one. I'll let you go through this list a bit, DB3.
Pom Poko. I couldn't really suggest it. It takes particular taste.
I think that Cromartie High School can be given a good encouragement if you like Adult Swim original content sort of humor. Cromartie High School would be perfect for you.
If you like Westerners, go for Trigun. It has a really good Western sci-fi feel.
Mm-hmm, that's a very good one. Let's see here. We've already done that. Oh, DD3, you gotta talk about Tylor.
Oh, if you love humor, if you just love being happy.
And you want something from the classic period of anime, the golden 80s, as they were.
Go for the irresponsible Captain Tylor.
I really recommend Planetes, just like how Kaleidostage has high detail to anatomy. Planetes has a really high attention to detail in space physics, so if you want to have edutainment, both entertainment and get a little bit of education too, check out Planetes. Slayers, of course, we both like Slayers.
Yes.
Very good stuff. And, of course, the stuff we mentioned earlier in this review, some of that would make good presents. Some of it would not. Unless, of course, you have a girl that likes the Yowie, then that would make an excellent present of gravitation. Wow, that went a lot quicker than I was expecting, DB3.
Thank goodness.
Well, it is an hour and a half long episode. So, there you go.
Well, we have to go out with a bang.
We do have to go out with a bang. And since we only have enough hard drive space to record an additional 17 minutes, we better go and delete some of our older files. Not the episodes, but the episode sources. So, yeah. So, with only 17 minutes left, this is NV17
and DB3
signing out for 2005. We'll see you next year with a whole bunch more of action-packed, fun-filled, and just plain down-and-out wacky episodes of ASO Radio. ASO Radio is copyright of NV17 Productions. ASO Radio is licensed to the general public under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike license. Additional licenses available. For more information, visit us online at www.nz17.com.